Well, I thank the organizing committee to invite me to come over and visit with you today, and I welcome you all to Stillwater. I hope you've been enjoying our nice weather. We're going to have better weather tomorrow because it might rain, so I hope that you could stay and enjoy the rain with us. What I'm going to talk about today is the effect of heat stress on reproduction in the male. You know, the male's sort of unique. The gonad in most mammals is located outside the body in the case of the male and inside the body in the case of the female. And if we put the gonad, the testis, inside the body of the male, we're going to find that we don't have reproductive function. We're going to talk about some of the old data, some of the work that we did here, looking at the effects of heat stress on semen quality of bulls. We'll look at how do we know when it's hot and it's too hot. When is an animal heat stress? And then we'll talk about some things that we might consider as far as maintaining better fertility in males during the time they're exposed to warm temperatures. So first, if we look a little bit about the testis and how it functions, in most mammals it's about 2 to 6 degrees cooler than body temperature. Some old work back in the 50s demonstrated that if we exposed bulls to elevated ambient temperature, this would reduce semen quality. It's been demonstrated that if you locally heat the scrotum of a bull, this can decrease the quality of semen. Heat stress has a minimal effect on testicular hormone production, so most other functions, as we'll see, proceeds normally, except for the fact that the quality of the sperm cell that is ejaculated is reduced. Breeding seasons are often occurring during the months of the year when animals might be exposed to elevated ambient temperatures, and so this has the potential to reduce fertility. And we need to remember, whether it be with natural mating or with bulls that are collected for artificial insemination, one bull is going to affect the fertility of a herd a lot more than one cow. And so we really need to remember that bull. And so some of the things that we need to be concerned about is keeping the testis cool. If we look at this diagram, it's for a ram, not a bull, but I wanted to emphasize some of the factors that are involved in keeping that testis cooler than the body temperature. One of the things that becomes real important is the tympaniform plexus, and this is the link between the blood vessels, or not the link between them, the close proximity between the arterial blood and the venous blood. And so the blood that's coming from the body is close to 40 degrees centigrade traveling in the arteries, and the venous blood coming back from the testis, which is 2 to 6 degrees cooler, passes close to the arterial blood, and this then allows the transfer of heat from the warm blood coming from the body to the cool blood coming back from the testis, and this helps the testis keep a cooler temperature so that we don't see heating, as of course we need to have constant circulation of blood going to the testis. And if we look at some of the factors that are involved, the skin around the scrotum is important. It has sweat glands, and so as the skin has moisture forming from the sweat glands, this allows for evaporative cooling that helps to take some of the heat out of the testis. In addition, there's a rich blood supply to the surface of the testis, and so when the animal is exposed to temperatures that are greater than testicular temperature, we can have some loss in that way as well. The tunica dartos is a muscle that surrounds the surface of the testis, or the scrotum, if you will, and this allows a change in the relaxation or contraction of the muscle, and during warm weather, the muscle will relax, allowing a greater surface area to increase the opportunity for heat loss from the testis. And lastly, as I mentioned, the spermatic vasculature that becomes important. So in this diagram in the ram, unfortunately, no one has done this type of thing in the bull, but we can assume it's going to be very similar because these two species both have the pendulous scrotum, which is very different than what we see in the case of the boar. And so if we look at the testis in the internal part of the of the temperature in the internal part of the testis is about 34 degrees centigrade, whereas if we look at the blood coming from the aorta or the body temperature, we're getting close to 40 degrees. And so we have this mechanism for cooling. This latex diagram illustrates, I think, very nicely the pampiniform plexus and this important relationship. The latex in red was infused in the arterial supply, the blood coming from the body going to the testis. In the blue would be the venous supply, the blood coming back, which would be cooler. And so you can see this very close relationship here that allows some of the heat transfer in order to keep that testis running at a cooler temperature than what we see in the case of the body of the animal. An early study that we did over 30 years ago looking at the effects of heat stress in the bull, where we put bulls in environmental chambers, Angus bulls, and looked at what effect this had on the semen quality. And so we used 16 bulls. 8 of these were kept in the cool chamber at 73 degrees. To start with, the 8 cool bulls and the 8 heat stress bulls were kept at 73 degrees for 8 weeks to make sure that we had a period of time when all the animals would have semen of acceptable quality. Then the heat stress bulls were exposed to 95 degrees during the daytime and 88 degrees at night. Control bulls were maintained at 73 degrees. And after an 8-week period, both groups of bulls were exposed to 73 degrees so that we could look at how long did it take for the semen to get back to normal after they had been exposed to this heat stress situation. Semen quality was collected twice a week with an artificial vagina, so the bulls were trained to work during the 8 weeks of treatment and during the 8 weeks after treatment. Yesterday we saw the nice presentation by Dr. Hansen, and he showed a data set of the bulls, and that would be these same bulls. And we looked at the quality and the quantity of the semen during this time period. As an indicator that these animals were stressed by these conditions, a good indicator would be the respiratory rate. The control bulls took about 30 breaths per minute. When the animals were exposed to the heat-stressed environment, this got up to about 54 breaths per minute. And so as an animal is exposed to heat stress, they breathe more rapidly, and this increases the amount of air movement over the respiratory passages, and the respiratory passages have moisture on them. And so as we see evaporation of the moisture as the animal breathes more rapidly, this takes the heat of vaporization out of the body as the liquid lining the respiratory passages would be converted to a gaseous phase, which would be expelled. And so this evaporative cooling of the respiratory passages is important, just like the evaporative cooling of the surface of the animal as the animal sweats and the water evaporates and takes heat away from the body. If we look at the rectal temperature of the animals, you can see it's increased about a half a degree centigrade, or roughly a 1 degree increase in Fahrenheit. Not a major increase in temperature. Water consumption increased by about 10 liters per day. And so this would indicate that, yes, these animals are heat stressed by the conditions in the environmental chamber. If we look at the volume of semen produced, and this would be during the 8 weeks of heat stress and during the 8 weeks after heat stress, when they're in a cool environment, what we see, no significant effect on the volume of semen. As you might remember, the volume is coming from the accessory glands, the seminal vesicle, the Cowper's, and the prostate, which are controlled by the male hormone or testosterone. And so what this would indicate, as we have also seen, is that testosterone production is not influenced in the heat stress pull. And so we have normal function of the accessory glands. And so if we collect semen, it looks like we're getting a normal ejaculate. However, when we look at the sperm cells, what we see is a very dramatic reduction in the percentage motile cells. Percent motility is a good estimate of potential fertility of the animals. And you can see the animals that were maintained in the cool environment continuously had 75% motile, progressively motile sperm cells. Those animals that are heat stressed, after about 2 weeks, there's a dramatic reduction in motility throughout this 8-week time period that they were exposed to this hot environment. After the animals would be exposed to the cool environment, here they're exposed to roughly 73 degrees continuously, the important message is, it takes 8 weeks until semen quality comes back to normal. And so the testis, when it's insulted by the high temperature, has a long lag phase until we have normal fertility or normal semen quality coming back. And so if we look at the influence of whole body heat stress, so the whole animal was in an environmental chamber, the volume wasn't altered, the percentage motile cells was decreased, total sperm per ejaculum was not influenced, and so we were producing sperm cells but of a lower quality, and there was a reduction in the percentage of normal cells. We saw just a few moments ago, Dr. Stroud showed us the acrosome on the sperm cell, and what we'd see is that those animals that were subjected to heat stress had more abnormal acrosomes on the sperm cell, another indication of potential infertility. Spermatogenesis in the bull takes about 60 days. So from the beginning of sperm cell formation up until that sperm leaves the testis and goes to the epididymis is about 60 days. And coincidentally, pretty close to 8 weeks. And so during those early stages, we're probably doing some things to the cell that influences the potential motility and also the morphology of the cell. Reduction in pregnancy rate that we see in summer and early fall breeding can be associated with insults of heat stress that have occurred 1 or 2 months before that time period. Unfortunately, we don't have data, or I don't know if anyone has data. I haven't been able to find any experiments that have looked at whole body heating a bull and looking at the actual fertility of the bull. Short-term heat stress can have an effect on spermatogenesis or sperm cell formation as well. And some studies have been done where they've looked at a higher temperature. Here is 40 degrees centigrade for 12 or 24 hours or for 6 days, and this caused a decrease in the percentage of motile cells, and interestingly, again, about an 8-week lag. So even though the animals are only exposed for a day or two, there's a decrease in semen quality. And even though they have a cool environment, just like when the animals in the previous study were exposed to heat stress for 8 weeks, it takes 8 weeks for them to come back to normal, or the length of time associated with spermatogenesis in the bull. We have some data here looking at short-term heat stress, and this would be a group of bulls that were kept in a control environment or exposed to 93 degrees Fahrenheit for 2 days. Before the animals were exposed in the environmental chambers, there's no difference in the volume of semen, sperm motility, or the number of live sperm, and this would be determined when semen was collected by electroejaculation. However, after just 2 days of exposure to 93 degrees, in this case continuously, volume was an influence, but motility was reduced almost 20%. And if we look at the live sperm, also reduced. So again, emphasizing that short-term exposure to a high temperature can have an effect on the animal, and based on the earlier two studies, it would suggest that this can take place or affect sperm quality for up to 8 weeks after that time period. Studies have also been done in a number of species where they insulate the scrotum. I don't know why they want to do this except in the wintertime, but if you insulate the scrotum, it increases the temperature because you have less heat loss from the tissue. And what's happening is when the temperature of the testis went up from 1 to 1.5 degrees centigrade for 4 days, this decreased the percentage of live sperm that were collected from these bulls, as well as, again, in this case, they found about 6 weeks. So again, short-term effects can have long-term consequences. What about management to reduce heat stress? I think under our situation here in Oklahoma, when we get over 90 degrees, we start to have concern because 90 degrees is enough to increase the body temperature of animals in the case of the bovine. And so we have concerns. So what we need to do is look at ways we can keep the body temperature of the animal reduced when they're exposed to warm temperatures. We can provide bulls with shade. There's a tendency to increase motility. I say a tendency. The data set isn't real strong. And what might happen is we might be able to help some bulls, but not all. This is a study that was done here in Oklahoma looking at semen that was collected weekly during the summer months during two different years. In this case, looking at the sperm motility. The black lines would be for 1 year and the red lines would be for the other year. And so these bulls were in the pasture and they had shade available from mid-May up until mid-September. If we look at 1 year, there was a tendency for those animals in the shade, shown here by the broken line, to have a greater percentage motility than the black line when the animals were in the pasture with no shade available. In the other year, shown by the red lines, there was no difference. And so for this reason, I would say that shade might have some effect, and it might be more beneficial to some animals than others. But it doesn't look like it's a solution to the problem to keep body temperature down. Other approaches, sprinkling cattle in the ground, where the animals in the feed yard. This is some nice work that was done in Nebraska showing that when you sprinkle the animal during the hot time of the day, we get more moisture on the animal, increased evaporative cooling as that moisture evaporates and takes the heat out of the body. And yesterday we saw Pete Hansen's work with the irrigation, with the dairy cows under irrigation, indicating that this could decrease the body temperature of the animal. So putting moisture on the animal gives the opportunity to increase the evaporative cooling. For those of you in this part of the country, in the summertime, you know that if a cow has an opportunity, it'll head to the pond. And as you can see, these cows are enjoying swimming in the midday, and this was this past August. And what they do is they get moisture on their body. They come out and stand in the shade for a while. The wind blows. The moisture evaporates. Their body cools off. As they warm up, they go back in the pond again. Sort of like people, aren't they? So any way that we can get evaporative cooling to take place, this is an opportunity to increase the amount that we can get rid of the heat load in the animal. A short-term increase in body temperature for bulls for as short as 1 day can influence the quality and the fertility of those animals. And so this might occur from exposure to high temperatures in the summertime, especially if they're in a pasture without shade or opportunity to get in a pond or ways to cool off. But we can't forget the fact that if we have an infection in the animal or a disease, maybe some foot rot or something of this sort, that's going to raise the body temperature for a couple of days, I would speculate we're going to see the same thing as if we whole body heat the animal artificially in an environmental chamber. And so we need to be concerned when we have a bull that runs a fever, because this can have a very strong detrimental effect on the quality of semen for the next 2 months. We need to have concern with natural mating as well, or probably even more so when we're looking at bulls that we're collecting semen from for artificial insemination, because that high temperature is going to affect every bull the same way. Well, the question would be, when does an increase in elevated ambient temperature get to be heat stress? How do we divide that line? If we look at the mechanism of heat loss in cattle, radiation occurs when the air around the animal is less than the animal's body temperature. But when the air around the animal is greater than the bull or the cow's temperature, the only way we can get rid of heat is by evaporative cooling. And so this is why sweating and evaporation in the respiratory passages become so important during the time period when the animal is exposed to high temperature. We have done some work with ruminal temperature in cows, trying to look at how ruminal temperature changes with different physiological states, such as at the time of estrus or preceding the time of calving. But we've also looked at using ruminal temperature to determine when does the air temperature get to a point where it's having a significant effect in raising the body temperature of the cow. And so what we did was we had a group of cows in the summertime that were maintained in a dry lot, and they had shade and water ad libitum, and we put a ruminal bolus in that recorded ruminal temperature real time. And so we could look at temperature every hour to look at what was the temperature in the rumen, and our studies have demonstrated that the rumen temperature is highly related with deep body temperature, and so this gives us a real-time way to evaluate temperature in cattle. If we look at the relationship between ruminant temperature, shown here on the vertical axis, with the maximum ambient temperature, every hour we measured the temperature the cow was exposed to, as well as the ruminal temperature of the cow at the same time. And so in this study, we had 11 cows during the summer that we did this, and so we had thousands of observations. I think you can see very clearly that when the ambient temperature was less than 33 degrees, the rumen temperature didn't change very much. It was normal. But when ambient temperature got greater than 33 degrees, a very dramatic increase over 2 degrees Fahrenheit in the cows when they're exposed to that temperature. And so this is a breaking point as to where, under the conditions of this experiment, when the air temperature was warm enough in order to heat stress these animals. I've talked a lot about evaporative cooling and how important it is, and we all know that when the weather forecaster tells us relative humidity is going to be 70%, we know that we're going to feel a lot warmer when it gets to be 90 degrees because our body isn't going to have as much evaporative cooling with that high humidity. And it's very similar to the cows. So about 50 years ago, they developed the temperature humidity index, which includes the effect of relative humidity as well as looking at the ambient temperature to try to determine how this might affect cattle. And so in this table, I'm sure most of you have seen this before, it's looking at temperature in degrees Fahrenheit, and it's looking at relative humidity. So 100% relative humidity would be where the air is saturated with moisture, can't hold anymore, so we have a foggy morning and the dew's falling out of the air. The red area here doesn't show up real well, but basically what I wanted to emphasize is when the humidity is very low, we can be over 100 degrees, and we aren't in the danger zone for cows. But as the humidity increases up to 80%, you can see when we get to the high 80s, we're going to have the danger zone as well, emphasizing the role that humidity has. And so we also looked at the relationship of temperature humidity index with rumen temperature in the cow, because this would then give us a little bit better estimate as to what the animal is being exposed to, because it would indicate how well they can get rid of their heat load. And so similar to the previous graph, here's ruminal temperature in these animals, and this would be the temperature humidity index. And again, you can see temperature humidity index increases up to about 86, and when it gets to 86 or greater than 86, you can see there's a very dramatic increase in ruminal temperature. Very similar to the breakoff that we saw in the previous table, looking at temperature humidity index in the period of time when cows were being subjected to severe heat stress. And so these data would indicate, yes, we do have a safe period with high temperature, but we need to be concerned as far as when the humidity goes up, because this safe period can be lower. The MESONET is a weather system that we have in the state of Oklahoma with over 100 stations located around the state that has real-time information coming in, telling about the current weather as well as the history of weather. And they've developed a cattle comfort index, and I think probably in several states we have similar types of indexes and apps that are available that help us to predict when animals are being subjected to heat stress. And basically, with their temperature humidity index, if you go on the MESONET, they will tell us, based on, in addition to ambient temperature and relative humidity, it also takes into account wind movement or air movement, which again would influence evaporative cooling by changing the environment very close to the animal. And so what they've suggested is that if the temperature humidity index is less than 85, the cattle are going to do well as far as growth and performance, reproduction. If we get to 85 to 105, they suggest a decrease in production, 20% more reduced in conception rate. And be honest, I don't know how they determine that value or if they just guesstimated, and as low as 0%. In any case, the reason I mention that is we do have some helpful information that can give us current information as to what type of a heat load animals are being exposed to help us know when we need to be concerned about how we might want to go and cool animals off. When you get to be old, you can make up these hypotheses and you really don't have to have any information to support them. But you can take this information and you can say, boy, based on all this, I'm going to speculate. So I'm going to speculate, okay? So I'm taking that prerogative today. One of the things I say, males are more susceptible to heat stress than females. And this would be based on some old data that we did 40 years ago in pigs. And Dave Richardson remembers that. We visited a lot about this 40 years ago, but we're still talking about it. But a pig is a little bit different because a pig doesn't sweat like cattle do, and so we really have to sprinkle them in order to get evaporative cooling. But the reason I show you this is to show you in this species, a boar, again, the testis outside of the body, and it must be cooler than the inside the body in order to have normal function. If boars are subjected to 93 degrees ambient temperature Fahrenheit, 70% decrease in sperm motility. Very similar to what we see in the case of bulls. If we look at the female gilts, if they're exposed to 104 degrees, ester cycles continue normally. The animals keep on cycling, having regular ester cycles. You think everything is fine. You can breed them. But during 8 to 16 or 16, or excuse me, 0 to 8 or 8 to 16 days of pregnancy, during those first couple of weeks, there's a decrease in pregnancy rate in the female. But this is a pretty high temperature, and it's not a total wipeout as you'd see in most boars when they're exposed to that type of temperature. In mid-pregnancy, no effect. Similarly, in the cow, during mid-pregnancy, temperature doesn't have much of an effect. In late pregnancy, what we see is about a 42% decrease in live pigs when they're heat stressed during the late period. So there are periods during reproduction in the pig where the female isn't affected by heat stress, but remember, the male's always affected. Similarly, if we look at bulls, when we expose them to 95 degrees, we had a 35% decrease in sperm motility. If we look at exposing cows to high temperatures, estrous cycle doesn't have any effect. The cows are having normal estrous cycles. It might be a little more difficult to observe behavior, but they're having normal estrous cycles. There's a decreased conception rate, as Dr. Hansen told us yesterday. During the first 3 days, a lot of old survey data in Florida, they saw that the ambient temperature the day after breeding is probably the most critical time period in order to get a cow to become pregnant. So the first 3 days, there's a problem. If we look at what happens when the animals are exposed from 8 to 16 days, and this is with a relative humidity of 38%, low, typical to what we have here in Oklahoma frequently. In the summertime, there's a 50% decrease in the weight of the conceptus, or that embryo that has developed the, so we're talking about the body of the embryo along with the fetal membranes, up at 16 days. But if the relative humidity is low, like we might have on many really dry, hot days, and the animals are exposed to that same 99 degrees from 8 to 16 days, it has no effect on what happens in the female. In late pregnancy, some of our recent studies would say that animals that are exposed to high temperature in late pregnancies, those cows are going to calf about 4 days early. And so it's going to have an effect on initiating the parturition process. But my point would be, there are times when high temperature doesn't have an effect on the female. And when it does have an effect, it's for short time periods. But when we look at the bull or we look at the boar, gosh, they're always in trouble, because spermatogenesis is a continuous process from puberty up until the time those animals die. And so when we expose them to high temperature, we're going to influence the production of those sperm cells. And so when we look at mid to late summer breeding season, this becomes more important. Now, as we have more concern about calving cows later in the spring, so that we have calves being born when grass becomes available instead of March, moving up into May with calving in many places in the country, especially in the southern part of the United States, this becomes a greater problem, because what are we going to do? We're going to be breeding in July and August. And so even though we might use timed AI and breed a bunch of cows with high-quality semen, we still have to have cleanup bulls. And when we have less than good fertility in those bulls, we're going to have a greater opportunity for less of those animals becoming pregnant. So there's greater opportunities for heat stress, I think, probably in the future than we've seen in the past, as we're looking now more at changing calving seasons and breeding seasons and going more to the summertime. Breeding soundness exams are essential to eliminate those animals that have reproductive problems. However, we can have a bull that passes that breeding soundness exam in May and we say, boy, we're in great shape, and he has an infection, or we see a few days of 100 degrees and we can have him producing a lot of cells with decreased quality and reduced fertility of that fellow. So 1 or 2 days of that low semen quality can be very detrimental. Bulls are often forgotten. I want to suggest that bulls are much more susceptible. It doesn't take as high a temperature. Bulls are always susceptible, not like in the case of the cow. One bull is going to influence many pregnancies, and probably this is going to become especially important if we're thinking about collecting semen for freezing. And so in summary, testicular temperature must be cooler than body temperature. If we expose the animals to elevated ambient temperature, we need to find ways to determine when we have to reduce that temperature or reduce the heat load. Some of the common things is to monitor rectal temperature or respiratory rate as indicators that these animals are heat stressed. Spermatogenesis or sperm production is a continuous process, and so when we heat stress an animal, even for a couple of days, it's going to be 8 weeks before we have a real good chance of having high quality semen being produced. 1 day of heat stress can reduce that semen quality. Cooling bulls is necessary when we get over about 90 degrees Fahrenheit. We need to think about how we're going to help these animals cool off to get rid of the heat load, and emphasizing one bull is going to influence the pregnancy of many cows. And so thank you for your attention, and I enjoyed sharing this with you.